If it smells like shit, you are in the right place. You are listening to The Prodwackers, hosted by David and Craig. Enjoy.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Morning. Living the dream.
That's right, sir. So we got this Farajo app to play some audio in here. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'm excited to throw a little bit more color on the show.
That's a step up over our pilot episode where you talk shit to the Skype call.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere, though.
It's pretty good, though. I just like that some intern had to go pick up the feed when we submit it and listen to you go, go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
And that's our whole show.
Especially knowing how much those Apple interns make.
All right. For real. Oh, man. So what's going on? We start recording here about 5 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday mornings. That's been the allotted time slot that we've given ourselves. So what do you got going on this weekend?
Got a 9-year-old birthday party. A house full of girls. Looking forward to that, but...
Wait, you're looking forward to a house full of little girls?
No. That came out wrong. I'm going to stay away from that one so I don't get too much trouble.
But, good idea.
But funny story right out of the gate this morning. Like you said, we start at 5 a.m. in the morning, and I'm typically not up this early on the weekend, obviously, but I had my alarm set. Everybody in the house is asleep. We were busy all day yesterday, so everybody's knocked out. But I go to turn my alarm off, and I frantically start hitting the side button on my iPhone. Well, in turn, that calls 911. So I get a call back from the 911 dispatcher. Hey, is everything okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It was an accident. I was just trying to turn my alarm off, and I dropped my phone. So I didn't think nothing of it. So I'm getting something to drink, and then I see flashlights in the window walking up the sidewalk at 4:45 in the morning. And I'm like, you got to be shitting me. So I answer the door, and it's a couple of the local police. And they're just, I mean, they're obviously doing a safety check because, you know, sometimes 911 gets called and it's just a cold call and they're not sure if it's a real emergency or not. So
right.
I have to answer the door 4:45 in the morning. Luckily, the dog's not barking. And then I have to give him my ID and say, yeah, I'm getting ready to go to work, which was kind of true, but kind of a lie too. But yeah, I live in a quiet neighborhood, so they totally bought it. So yeah, that's my morning. I'm wide awake now.
Oh man.
Visit from the cops.
Yeah. I got actually a semi-similar story here. So I was, my son was recently born. I don't know. He had to be maybe 3 months. Maybe a little bit older, maybe closer to 6 months probably. And I was going out in my garage to grab something, but I was holding him in my left arm and I had my Apple Watch on. And on the side of the Apple Watch, they have a very similar feature where if you hold down the side button, it brings up the slider to power off or to SOS call.
Right.
And so I'm holding him and he was like grabbing onto my watch like a death grip just to like hang on. And he somehow hit the slider for SOS. And you hear this like zoop zoop, and you're like, "What the hell was that?" And so like I get in the house and I look down and my watch had called 911.
Oh my gosh.
And so they call me and I answer and I'm like, "Yeah, everything's fine." Like my son just accidentally set it off. And like, you know, yeah, sure. So they send out the police to my house. I've got two cops show up to my house, and like the one, like it was a male and female officer, and the female comes and knocks on my door, and the male stands like 20 feet behind her, like with his hand on his holster, like. And I'm holding my kid and I'm like, yeah, he just dialed you guys on my Apple Watch by mistake. And the one guy's like, oh yeah, my kid does it all the time. It's like, what the hell? And then literally just like 2 or 3 days ago, I was outside and I had my AirPods in and I was doing yard work. And so my wife and son come outside and they start talking to me and I'm like trying to turn my AirPods down, you know, through my phone, but I had my phone in my pocket, and being lazy, instead of like pulling my phone out, I just like tried to mash the buttons down in my pocket real quick just so I could hear what they were saying. And all of a sudden I hear it go zoop, zoop. I'm like, oh shit. You know, so I ripped my phone out of my pocket and I hit cancel real fast, but it never dialed out. So they didn't come this time. But I ran into something just like that. That was too funny.
Yeah, your story is almost exactly like mine. I had a female officer come to the door, and then she had her male partner behind her about 20 feet on the sidewalk. He didn't have his hand on his gun, but he was kind of turned sideways, you know, to hide his weapon just in case. It was almost exactly the same way.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, they don't know what they're getting into. It could be a domestic dispute or something, and the guy answers the phone and is like, hey, yeah, don't worry about that. So, I mean, yeah. I get why they come and everything, but yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm just happy I had my clothes on. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. That you intended to be awake at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and were dressed appropriately. And
yeah, had to Keurig running, making some coffee. So they bought it. It was a complete accident, though. And I should have known that they were going to show up. And I was like, oh, God.
Oh, dude. Speaking of coffee, I'm out.
Yeah.
I went, I had all this coffee, a couple different bags, and just going through it, and I'm running low, and we picked up like Amazon Prime, which I was on another account and I just switched over, but I got that Amazon credit card. Let me tell you about Amazon here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I know I'm out of coffee soon. So I'm on Amazon looking at coffee. I'm like, what the fuck do I buy? There's so many choices. So I was so overwhelmed that I didn't pick one. And so then I'm like, I got enough. And then I was looking in my cabinet, and I had a bag of Starbucks Thanksgiving blend from like forever ago. But for some reason, when I was drinking it, it was like really irritating my throat.
Mm-hmm.
So I quit drinking this like bag of coffee. And so about a week ago, I'm in that cupboard and I'm looking at that bag of coffee, and I'm like, this is just taking up a ton of space and I'm not drinking it. My wife's not drinking it. So let me just toss it. So I did. And here we are a week later. And I didn't pick out any more coffee, and I ran out. And I thought for sure by now I would have another bag, so I'm going to have to make a Starbucks run this morning or something.
Yeah, I'm notoriously cheap, so I got a whole K-Cup bin full of McDonald's Finest McRoast, French Roast.
Gets it done, man.
It gets it done, but yeah, if you enjoy the taste of licking your dog's ass, it's about the equivalent of what it is, taste-wise.
Oh, yeah, that battery acid coffee.
Oh, my God.
It's always delicious.
Always horrible. It does wake you up, though, the taste and the caffeine, so.
Oh, man, yeah. I had a Keurig for a while there, but I don't know. See, I kind of thought it was really annoying to brew single cups because I drink a shitload of coffee. So I need like a whole carafe full of coffee. So yeah,
I usually just throw the travel mug under there and run two cups. I'm good for a while.
Yeah, that's about what I do, about two travel mugs full. And then usually in the afternoon, I end up going to Starbucks or something and getting a cold brew.
Yeah.
Got to get that caffeine, man.
Especially at 5 o'clock in the morning when the cops are showing up unexpectedly.
That's so good.
My God.
Oh, man. So, did you catch that whole shitstorm going on with that Fresno State professor?
Yeah, I did earlier this week. It's all spawned off of, obviously, Barbara Bush passed away this week, and then all the media coverage on that. And then just out of the blue, I saw the Fresno State professor that had a Twitter storm going on. And yeah, I honestly don't know what to say. I mean, it kind of ties back to a subject we didn't get to talk about last time around, where there was a controversy around the Simpsons character and the, I guess the racist, so-called racist, underlying, you know.
Oh, yeah, from Apu,
the whole controversy there. Apu, yeah, right. I think that just compounds on the whole subject, but I really don't know what to say about that whole situation. I mean, if it was the other way around, I mean, the shit storm would be threefold, but
Oh, I know, dude. So I saw there was an addition to the story. And so, so this lady goes out on Twitter and she starts running her mouth about how she's happy Barbara Bush died and she can't wait for the rest of the family to die and that they are responsible for the murder of like 1.5 million Iraqis and they're like this genocidal family. And it was just like this crazy shitstorm of stuff she started talking about and spewing over Twitter. And she still didn't get fired. And the funny part about that was, so people, you know, people on Twitter, they start posting her personal info out on Twitter so that people can start, you know, giving her shit or whatever. And, you know, all the libtards on Twitter out there trying to get people to lose their job as usual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in this case, she probably should lose her job. That was kind of ridiculous. I don't know if I was her employer that I'd want her around, but anyhow,
right.
So she's out there and she sees this and she goes, "Hey guys, that phone number is not active. Call this one." And she posts another phone number and it's a phone number to an Arizona suicide hotline. And so I guess this hotline had to have extra people come and work their shifts because they were getting so inundated with extra phone calls.
Oh my God.
It's this bitch is nuts.
Yeah, it's an interesting point you made about her not getting fired. I know that the president for Fresno State came out and you know put the official statement out there that you know that doesn't reflect the principles and you know the history of Fresno State and this and that. And this lady's on there bragging about how she's not going to lose her job because she's a tenured professor. And when you say stuff like that, we know that social media. You know, everything about you is out there. You put it out there and it's out there. And I don't get how she's still protected as a tenured professor at a university. It doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, she has freedom of speech and can say whatever she wants, but you know, and the way things spread on social media, she knew what she was doing. She knew what kind of shitstorm it was going to stir up. And yeah, you know, if you worked for any other company, I mean, the social media screening is going on, you know, from an HR perspective, hiring people in, I just don't get it. I wouldn't want somebody that toxic working for me or representing my company, my university, my business, whatever. So it's.
No, not at all. I mean, I have mixed feelings on that because I'm pretty socially liberal. So.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the idea that you can go home and do something in your personal life and then somebody could send that to your employer and you get in trouble.
Right.
So not even like that you made a scene, like in this case, this is extra ridiculous because she's being, you know, broadcast to all sorts of people.
Right.
You know, like, so she's going, you know, and broadcasting her stuff out everywhere and it made this huge public controversy. Like people picked this up and made it a huge national story. But there's also the people who do something small, like piss off a friend or girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or whatever. And then that person is vindictive and goes and like tells their employer or forwards conversations to their employer. And then all of a sudden they're fired because the employer's like, yeah, we're not, no, we don't want any of this.
Right.
That's a little murky to me because it's like you still are a person. And as long as you're not out there like, hey, I work for such and such company and F this guy and like or wearing like, you know, your work shirt or something like that. And then you're out there like running your mouth and berating waiters and waitresses in public and like just being an overall douchebag out in the wild. You know, it's like there's got to be some like personal protections in a way. Now, if you are an idiot on Twitter and you're out there like wishing the death of a family.
Yeah.
I can understand like Fresno State being like, we got to kind of get rid of her, but you know, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, and she's an idiot. Like what's it show, you know, her state of mind to go out there and say this stuff and then continue. She keeps going.
Yeah. Just the basis of what she was trying to portray in what she said on Twitter, you know, responsible for the death of 1.5 million. My take on that is if that whole thing never happened in Iraq and would have started in 2003, if that whole how many more people are dying by the hand of the guy who is leading the country? I mean, it was documented, some of the stuff that he was doing. I mean, he's imprisoning his own people that don't follow his political beliefs or fall in line with, you know, how he's running things. And you're still locking people up and killing them off, torturing them. I mean, yeah, I get both sides of the argument and ultimately, I don't know that we should have meddled in their business. I think it was a half-hearted attempt to finish, you know, what was started in the early 90s. And they did finish it. And, you know, ultimately it ended up taking way longer than it should have.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, the thing with that is, like, if you go listen to, there's a, I want to say he was a Navy SEAL. I could be wrong, but Jocko Willink, he's out there now, like all over social media and stuff. And he's kind of a motivational guy, but he's a military guy. And he was over in the Middle East quite a bit in the early days of this. And he was asked, I believe he was on Joe Rogan, and Joe Rogan asked him, should we have been there? He said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He said, 100% we should have been there. He said, the people there were being so tortured by their regime that we needed to do that for them, and that the actual people there that were not part of some crazy organization or, you know, terrorist group were happy we were there. And he said there were cities where they would go in and liberate the city, and then, like, the next day, like, you would see just, like, children outside playing and people all together outside enjoying each other and walking around. And it was just like America in that sense, like where, you know, you see a neighborhood and it was just like the people outside doing yard work and this and that. And prior to that, they couldn't leave their house. Like they were deathly afraid to go outside.
That's insane.
Yeah. And so there's like that upside, but then there's like the whole, like, well, what do you do after you're done? And what does done look like? Because that's where the vacuums end up getting filled by these terrorist groups. And then it's just back to where it was before we started. It's tough. I mean, it's human life you're talking about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all these people and you want them to be happy and live a life like we live in America, where, I mean, the biggest things we're bitching about is what people are talking about on Twitter, which is nothing compared to what these people are going through, where, like, in Syria, they're getting gassed by their own government. And it's like, so how do you deal with that? That's, I mean, it's such a big, broad topic, and I don't think that any of us really know how to handle it, but we pretend to, and none of the answers are simple.
Yeah, everybody's got an answer on social media, and they all think they're right, and that's the problem. And you brought up Syria. Yeah, it's, I know that, you know, people were shitting their pants when we started hitting them again with another airstrike and this and that, and it was short and sweet, but, you know, from what you read in the media, and obviously there's two sides to that from a media perspective, but I think the targets were, you know, those areas that were capable of producing those weapons that he was unleashing on his own people. And I don't know about you, but yeah, that stuff really bothers me when I go out and see, regardless of where it is in the world, but you see somebody that's gassing kids and their own people and stuff, and you, like, actually look at the images and the videos of what that does to them. It's, number one, it's disturbing as hell. And number two, I mean, from my side, it makes me mad as hell. So,
oh yeah. I mean, the thing that I always say when I'm talking to people is that you need to put yourself in the shoes of the people that are dealing with the problem. So when you hear these stories and then you see people's reactions to them, like, how many times have you seen a reaction and it's so just, like, heartless, but then at the same time you go, if that was your kid, you wouldn't feel that way.
Exactly.
And so this is kind of a good segue into another topic that I wanted to talk about with Alex Jones getting sued by the parents of Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
So he's always out there. And for those of you who don't know, Alex Jones is on Infowars.com, and he's a major conspiracy theorist, and he's just a complete nutcase. He loses his mind about basically everything, and he's a maniac. He's super entertaining, but he's, if you actually take his message to heart, he's just a complete maniac.
Right.
And I'm not going to shell out my morals for Donald Trump, damn it. See, I can't even go live. I'm so pissed right now.
So there's a clip of Alex Jones. So he's an absolute maniac. And so he would say that the Sandy Hook, shooting was a false flag operation and it didn't happen. And they had all these, crisis actors and that whole thing. And so the parents ended up suing him, for defamation and saying that, they caused them a lot of grief and stress and death threats and everything from people because they got them all riled up thinking that it was fake. And, so, you know, you got this lunatic out there doing these things and then, you know, there's no regard at all for the people who dealt with it. Mm-hmm. And so it ties in also with like the Parkland shooting, like people going out there and attacking these kids. And it's like, until you're in a school building locked in there for 6 minutes while someone has an AR-15 and you have nothing and is mowing people down right next to you, you have no right to say how these kids should feel.
Right.
Whether or not you actually agree with what they're trying to do, if you don't agree with gun control, that's fine. But don't attack the people. You can attack the legislation they're trying to push for or whatever, but don't attack the kids. Don't attack the people because they lived through something that you'll never live through, hopefully. And if you have to live through it, then maybe you'll understand. I don't understand. I've never lived through it. But I can see why they say the things that they say. Whether or not I agree with how they want to push gun control through and all this stuff, that's a whole different issue. But the kids themselves, I'm not going to personally attack these people for going out there and trying to cause change in the world. Like, I understand where they're coming from, and I understand that it's from a good place and that they're really just trying to make things better because, quite honestly, like sending my kid to school here in the next couple of years, and I know you've got a couple kids in school. I don't even know how you feel about that. Like, how do you feel about sending your kids to school every day knowing that someone could walk in with a loaded gun and just start mowing them down?
Oh, it scares the hell out of you as a parent. And just from where I live now, this last time we had a school shooting, the one down in Florida, it wasn't but like a week after that, there was some fake social media tweets going out there that there was going to be a shooting at the local school where we live.
I remember you telling me about that.
And immediately your knee-jerk reaction is like, there's no way in hell I'm sending my kid to school this day because you see this threat, you know that more than likely it's, you know, this preteen kid not wanting to go to school on Friday, being just a, you know, an everyday douchebag. And, but you don't know, you know, there's not the security at school to protect against something like that to happen. You know, you have administration there, you have, and where I'm at, we have brand new school buildings, cameras everywhere. people that work at the front desk can hit a button and lock the place down. But if it's a kid coming in there that's troubled or bullied or whatever, and they bring a gun into school, they're already in the building. You lock the building down, you just basically cause even a bigger issue. And
yeah, you're trapping yourself inside.
Exactly. And I don't know, you know, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know.
Well, that's where it comes down to, like, you know, they talk about ammunition limits and stuff like that, as far as like how many bullets can fit in a magazine and those kinds of things, trying to limit that. I probably just misspoke on the terminology, but you get my point. So, you know, those kinds of things make sense to try to limit damage. And that's all that we're really trying to do, because nobody can solve some kid being upset, walking through the doors of the school and shooting the place up. It's unpredictable. You can't stop it. You know, you're not going to put metal detectors in. You're not going to have police officers everywhere. And even if you do, it doesn't guarantee anything for you. So that's also not the answer. I mean, a lot of the answer is mental health, because this person felt so badly inside or so numb inside that they had to come through your school with a gun and start mowing people down
to make them feel better.
Yeah. And they know at the end of the day, they may even die. They don't care.
Right.
I had the same thing, just around the corner from my house. a kid took a gun to school, and I live in a pretty affluent community, mm-hmm. and, you know, this kid was disgruntled. He brought a rifle to school. He actually had it in the hallway, was getting ready to shoot somebody. It jammed. He walked back in the bathroom, went to clean it out, accidentally set the gun off and killed himself.
Right.
And thank God he did, because he was after other people. And, you mm-hmm. know, I wish he didn't have to get there to that point. But if it did get there, and it did, and he was going after a bunch of innocent kids at school, I'm sorry, but I'm glad he was the one who accidentally shot himself. Like,
right.
karma. You know, like, you're yeah. there to go do all this damage. Like, I'm glad it happened to you and no one else, but I'm not glad it happened at all.
And I think, I mean, the only other side to that that I think that doesn't get discussed enough is there's people on both sides of the gun debate. You know, we should limit guns. We should get rid of guns. Guns should only be in the hands of those authority figures that need them. And then there's, you know, the everyday citizen that says, I'm a responsible gun owner. There's no reason I shouldn't be able to own guns. But when these kids get a hold of these things and do these things, why is there not – it's never discussed as to, you know, what was done to the parents that allowed them to get the guns in the first place. Generally speaking, these kids are under 18. They can't go and legally purchase a gun at a gun store. So chances are they have access to the weapons that their parents bought, that if their parents were responsible gun owners, there's no way that their kids would be able to get access to them.
Yeah, I mean, you're 100% right. But on the flip side, it's not illegal for a minor to have a gun or use a gun.
True.
So you can't, you know, I was always a really responsible kid. I would have been one of those kids you could have left your gun safe open. I never would have touched it because right. I knew bad news. Like, I don't want to die and I don't want my friends to die. So we're not going to touch your guns. Like, that's just stupid. Like, I always yeah. had that kind of common sense, but not everybody does.
Nope.
And some people think they do. And then all of a sudden they end up in a peer pressure situation where they're screwing around with weapons at their, at their friend's house because they're just there and buddy right. can get to his guns. But yeah, like the problem is that a lot of people aren't necessarily looking at like the whole entire picture. So how do we get there? Mm-hmm. So as a society, you know, we've got a lot of things going on. We now have social media where if you're bullied at school, it doesn't end at school when you go home. If you have social media,
right.
You know, the kids can get on there and be just as mean, or they can just run their mouths about you on social media without your presence. They don't need you there. They'll just mm-hmm. talk shit about you in front of everybody. Who cares? But the flip side of that is, you also have other things going on. Like, if you look at the depression rates in this country and you look at, like, the obesity rates and just mm-hmm. overall happiness of people, you got to take a step back and go, when did this happen and why is it happening now? And so there's a right. lot of things that are going on there, but I personally think that a lot of it has to do with the foods that people are consuming and the medications that they take, because mm-hmm. both of those things go hand in hand. And whether or not you want to admit it, food is medicine. So if you're right. shoving a bunch of processed foods that are chemically engineered down your throat, your body does not react to those things well. So you're creating a chemical reaction within yourself that all of a sudden, you know, my brain doesn't know what to do with all of the sugar that you just gave me and or all of the chemicals and all of the preservatives that you just gave me. I'm not designed mm-hmm. to handle that. Like, yeah, humans are very resilient and we can deal with some of these things, but no one really truly knows how those things are handled mentally, especially by adolescents. But more and more studies are coming out and showing that if you change a kid's diet, then all of a sudden they're not ADHD anymore or ADD. They are much more calm and much easier to deal with and less irrational. Mm-hmm. And I will give you a prime example. So my son, we are pretty aware of all these things and we eat very well. You know, we try and eat as clean as possible. And so since birth, he was allergic to nightshades mm-hmm. out of the blue. Like, why? We don't even know. So my wife couldn't have nightshades while she was breastfeeding him, because every time she would, he would start getting acid reflux and throwing up and stuff. And so a lot of people will write these things off as, oh, it's just normal baby behavior. It's not,
right.
It's not, you're not designed to puke all day. And so you've got to like look at these things with common sense, and they're hard. You know, it's hard to not be able to just go eat McDonald's when you want to. because it's there.
Yeah, you know? It's easy to get to.
Yeah, it's easy. It's convenient. Like, so we're to the point now where we've had some food allergy testing done on him and found out that he can't have nuts and seeds. And so we took some of that stuff out of his diet, and his behavior instantly changed. He was really needy, always wanted you to carry him, like was always bugging you, but he couldn't tell you that it was really that his stomach was probably upset and that he just felt like crap. Mm-hmm. And so once we took those things out, suddenly he started sleeping through the night and just being better overall. He's still not 100% where we want him to be, but he is much better. And so he, and this kid is one of the, you know, he's lucky in the sense that we can provide him really clean foods. We are aware of it. We are trying to do this. We're making a conscious effort. He still has problems. So I can only imagine these kids that have no idea, or their parents have no idea, or they feel like they can't afford it, and they just start shoving garbage down their kid's throat. Like when I'm out in, at the store and I see kids just like popping candy, like it's nothing. Like it just, it kind of blows my mind in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I don't know if you've seen this yet either, but there is a docuseries on Netflix called Rotten. And one specific episode of that I watched, they touched on the milk industry and raw milk. And it kind of ties back into the whole food subject, getting clean food, you know, unprocessed, natural. Mm-hmm. And the benefits of what you get from raw. Well, this one particular episode was just raw milk in general. And
yeah, when they homogenize that stuff, it just like kills everything in it.
Yeah, and the bacteria is good for you because it's going into your system. Your body's adjusting to it. It's building your immune system. And I mean, I'm not the living example of a good eater whatsoever. I'm pretty terrible at it. You know, I'm. If I go to the doctor every year for my health assessment, they're going to say, yeah, you're obese. You have high cholesterol. You need to do this. You need to do that. But
dude, that Chinese buffet, man.
Yeah.
Does it call in your name?
Kills you. I refer to it as a colon detox, but most people don't see it that way. It's not good for you.
Yeah. You'd be out there shitting your brains out after the afternoon squirts.
Right. Ming to the Hing.
Oh, my God, dude.
Mingaria is the term that I gave it. But anyways, that series on raw milk, I can kind of attest to that because when I was younger, I grew up on a dairy farm, you know, in a rural area. And we never bought milk. We got it straight from the source. I mean, it was filtered. It was chilled. It was unpasteurized, not homogenized. It was 100% pure raw milk. And probably up until the time I was, you know, right before I was a teenager, that's all we drank. You would get it right out of the tank from the farm, put it in the fridge, keep it cold. This stuff would actually have cream that would settle to the top. You could either skim it off or just shake the jug up and stir it in, the butter fat and whatnot. But I honestly believe that all of those years early on drinking that raw milk product and some of the other stuff that my grandparents would raise in the garden, mm-hmm. I think that kind of set the tone for my immune system because generally speaking, I eat like shit. Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, there's lots of things I could do to improve my health, mm-hmm. but I'm rarely sick. I expose myself early on in life to good bacteria and my system kind of like calibrated itself. I don't even know, you know, what the right, you know, technical term for that is, but it set the stage, you know, for a healthier function, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like you're 100%. And so a lot of this stuff is like epigenetics. It's stuff that gets turned on after years of abuse that gets passed down and then delivered to you later. And it's very complicated, you know, like there's no real easy way to figure these things out, but mm-hmm. You know, you flip these genetic switches and then you mate with somebody and then all of a sudden this kid comes out and who knows what switches are on and off and how it mm-hmm. happened and this and that and any genetic mutations they could have. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a complex issue, but at the same time, like these things are also relatively simple, but companies have done a great job at trying to confuse you as to what is and is not healthy. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard for you to turn around and then go, yeah, you know, low fat, everything low fat's great. Well, Who told you that? The sugar industry.
Mm-hmm.
And why'd they tell you that? So you'd eat more sugar. You know, and then, right. then we find out sugar's really bad for you. Then we also find out that they were the ones behind it lying to us the whole time, faking right. their science, right? So it's like, use some common sense, right? If it doesn't have a label on it, it's probably better for you.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And then the whole deceptive marketing thing is a bunch of bullshit.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Just to be completely blunt. I mean, it's... And that's one of the media's favorite topics is, you know, what's good to eat, what's not good to eat, what's going to cause cancer. I mean, and...
Watch one of those Today shows or something and track their sponsors and then watch the segments that they give you. Mm-hmm. I did this one time. I was kind of trying to pay attention to, well, who's paying these people, first of all? So it's all the advertisers. And then what are they telling you about? Oh, all these, you know, great things that they're doing. And it's like, and it's like Procter & Gamble sponsors this. So then you're going to hear about how great, you know, whatever is, paper towels or who knows, whatever, you know,
yeah.
their brand of whatever and how great it is. And then the doctors that they have on are shills for these same companies because they're getting paid by them to tell you stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. you're not really giving us full truths. I mean, if you start actually investigating these things and read into them and actually do a lot of your own research, you'll find out that a lot of the stuff that comes through the media is a bunch of bullshit. And it's just from companies right. trying to make money. I mean, yeah. and that's fine. They can make money, but you speak with your dollar at the end of the day. And so wherever you're spending your dollar is where they're going to go. They're going to chase mm-hmm. you. You have all the power. Don't think it's the other way around. The only reason they are where they are is because you fell for it and then everyone's buying it. So, you know, you've got to be aware of that and then start spending your money where it makes sense. So like if it is on like organic vegetables or if it's on, you know, grass fed meat or something like that, the companies will go run and start producing that stuff in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
If exactly. you stop buying the other things. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of incredible the way that those things all happen to, unfold. But, mm-hmm. And kind of touching on that, there's a story in the news about, this restaurant called Antler, and there are all these vegans protesting outside of Antler. And in the background, there's a picture of this dude, and he's just carving up he's over there carving up a deer in the window.
Right in front of him.
And so these people are out there, and they're like, they got these signs out there, and they're, you know, saying, you know, like, murderer, murderer. And he's over there just like butchering up this deer and getting ready to serve it. I mean, the fucking restaurant's called Antler for crying out loud. So what do you think?
Yeah.
But it's like these vegans get on their high horse and they're out there like running their mouths about how you're killing stuff. And it's like, yeah, but you kill stuff too. Like everything's alive.
Right.
You don't think that the plant that you killed wasn't food for bugs that were eating it? Like, you know, like, and then they die because now they're out of food because you're eating too many plants. You know, like, there's a whole ecosystem that goes on. Like, I don't understand. If you're just a vegan because you just don't like the idea of murdering animals, I mean, I get that. If you don't like factory farming, I really understand that because that's not good either. I'm not really behind factory farming either. But at mm-hmm. the same time, I eat a lot of meat.
Yeah.
It's very healthy for you. And if you were around about, you know, 5,000-6,000 years ago, you probably would eat a lot of meat and wouldn't ask questions.
Exactly.
Because I mean, pretty good if you can just live on vegetables.
You're just happy to bake a fire to cook the meat that long ago.
I know.
There's
so many health benefits. Like, if you look at the vegans, like, they're always like these, like, scrawny, disgusting looking people because they're eating a bunch of processed shit and not anything healthy. And then you look at the people who actually, like, focus on eating, like, healthy meat, like, from good sources and, like, they're healthy mm-hmm. and. They've got, you know, a lot of nutrients that they're taking in from all the fatty meats that they're having. And I mean, it's just, you know, there's a lot to it, but then you got these vegans out there that are trying to tell you how healthy they are and they look like they're going to die any minute.
Right. Yeah. I actually haven't a vegan in my family. One of my aunts is vegan and only for the reason that she likes animals. She enjoys, you know, all of her pets and this and that. And I get that. And she's not this, you know, vegan Nazi that comes out and saying you can't eat meat and this and that. We can go out to dinner and everybody can eat their meals and, you know, she'll order a salad or whatever she's going to have. And
exactly.
It is what it is.
If it's a personal choice to you, like mm-hmm. you feel so adamant that that's what you got to do. And, but you're not over here preaching to me like, hey man, right. I don't eat meat. You shouldn't eat meat. It's like, sure. No, if you don't want to eat meat, that's fine. That's a personal decision. Don't. And I won't sit here and like, you know, wave in front of your face either. Oh, look at this right. juicy steak. I, you know, like I'm not going to do that to you if that's not your thing. But at the same time, don't like knock me for doing it. That's yeah. how I feel about a lot of things. Like if it's a personal decision, you don't need to go out there and, you know, try and berate me and make me, you know, feel bad because I'm eating a cow. Like,
right.
That's what they're there for at the end of the day.
And you don't need to make yourself feel good by preaching what you think is right. And, you know, you might be heard by a few people and then it, just to make your own self-edification, it's just, it's insane. But it, we talk about this too. And you and I both used to work with a guy who was supposedly vegan there for a while. I know for sure. I know for a fact right now he's not because I bumped into him a couple of different times and, bumped into him at a Wendy's or something. I can't remember, but yeah, he was pounding down a double cheeseburger and some nuggets that day that I saw him. So,
well, when he was a vegan, he was doing it too. So,
I
guess he wasn't really vegan.
Yeah, he would always come to work with this green thing that I don't know. He mixed up in his blender and it just anything and everything he could throw in there to try to make it taste good. And it, to me, it just looked like he leaned over and took a shit in it.
But dude, imagine the shits that guy was taking.
Oh my God.
Like some of the people there, holy cow. But that guy, oh man, the vegan drizzles.
Yeah. And it was probably just as green coming out as it was going in. Oh, it was nasty. It's
probably just as liquid too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty nasty.
Oh, I just enjoy the fact that I never knew that his God-given name was last name was Dick, but he had changed it, or I don't remember what the backstory was, but so good.
Oh man, yeah, he was something else. I mean, I like that dude, but he was a little off his rocker, which is kind of why I liked him.
Yeah, I did too. It was it. I liked it because you could get him fired up easily and just kind of like poke a couple jabs at him, and then he'd just start going off. But
oh yeah, that place was just like a giant boiling pot of people that were pissed off. Like every single person, like they all pretended they weren't pissed off until you nudged them just right, and then all of a sudden, here it comes.
Yep.
It was great.
And back to, since we're talking about said place, just to recap on that social media thing and what goes out there and gets posted, I actually got in trouble there for upgrading my job status before it was announced to the company. So yeah, some companies take it way too seriously.
I remember that, dude. Your Facebook feed was nothing but Natty Light, and then all of a sudden you disappeared. And I'm like, where'd you go? And you told me the story, and I started laughing, and then you're like, I just deleted it.
Yeah, I don't need this kind of crap. I'm just here to work. I'm not.
Yeah, well, Facebook's pointless anyway. If like all you're doing is posting Natty Light reposts all day, I think there's better things to do with your time.
Yeah, it's true. I should have set up a bot. I should have set up a bot to do that for me. It was pretty easy to plug in some images and some some keywords and let it go to town.
I found entertainment value in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so. Yeah, well, so some personally exciting news on my side is the new Halloween movie released. They released a teaser poster for it.
Nice.
So I'm super pumped. I love these movies. I don't know why. I think it's because when I was like a little kid, like you weren't supposed to watch these things. Mm-hmm. You know, they were like so scary. And so like then I would like sneak and watch them and then just be scared shitless for like a week straight.
Right.
Like I remember as a kid, so Halloween's like probably my favorite one because my sister made me watch it. She was 4 years older than I am.
Mm-hmm.
And she made me watch it when I was a little kid and I was like mortified. So I was so afraid to go in my basement after this movie for, I don't know, probably the next 7 years of my life. So I was probably like 15 by the time I finally reconciled that he wasn't going to attack me in the basement.
Right.
But I remember actually, this is kind of a funny story. So I remember when I was a little kid, so we watched the movie and then after the movie, we went down into the basement for something. And my sister like went to turn on the light and she was probably at the time, like screwing with me and just turning it on and off. But it was one of those like pool chain lights, you know?
Right.
And so it went out. Actually, I kind of remember it being the light bulb just burnt out coincidentally. and she started screaming, and then I was deathly afraid. I had to be like 7, you know? So she's screaming, I'm like afraid, and we had just watched this movie, and I think I'm going to die in my basement because the light bulb went out.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just have a fondness of these movies, even though, like, after the second one, they're all, like, pretty much terrible.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, who is producing and directing the new movie? I hadn't heard about a new one coming out. I'm assuming it's coming out this year.
Yeah, it's coming out. Okay, so a little backstory. The last several of these movies have come out, like, in the summertime, even though they're called Halloween. Why? I have no idea. But every other movie franchise seems to realize that scary movies do well in October.
Right.
So October of this year, October 19th, it'll be out, which is going to be awesome. And so I believe it's Blumhouse Productions is doing it. David Greenfield, I think, is the person. I have to look that one up. I don't remember exactly. But I do know that John Carpenter from the original movie is actually involved. So,
oh, nice.
So he's doing a lot of consulting on it as well as scoring the movie, which he scored the original. So, like, you know,
right.
Everyone knows the original, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That theme song, you can't get away from that.
Oh, no. That was a great movie, and I have a Michael Myers mask just to scare the shit out of my kids in the neighborhood when it's trick-or-treat, so I enjoy the movie, too.
Oh, yeah. I love this movie. It's seriously like one of my favorite, the original and the second one.
Yeah, I've seen the original movies, but I haven't seen the Rob Zombie spin on these movies, so I don't know if they're good, bad. I mean, I've heard mixed reviews.
They're pretty much horse shit. So David Gordon Green's directing the new one, written by John Carpenter and David Gordon Green, and Jamie Lee Curtis is back.
Oh, wow.
And so they're supposed to be ignoring the sequels after Halloween, the original.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the franchise has always had a knock on it, it's taken like 7 different directions. And so like,
right.
Like you've got like Halloween 1 through 1 and 2, 3 is not a Halloween Michael Myers movie. And then you have, then 4, 5, and 6 pick up. So you've basically got Halloween 1, 2, 4, 5, 6. That's one story. And you've got Halloween 1, 2, H2O Resurrection. That's another story. Then you've got Rob Zombie's Halloween 1 and Halloween 2. And so then this is going to ignore everything after the original and be just a sequel to the original. So
That's
kind of interesting, but, the new mask is pretty awesome. So there's a picture of Michael. He's like looking down kind of like at a diagonal angle, and he's got like the mask is like kind of weathered, kind of like how Rob Zombie did it, but it's not like so extreme. It's just more like wrinkly, almost old looking. And then some people took the picture online and like lit it up, and his left eye is gouged out, because in the original he gets gouged with that coat hanger while he's like trying to break into the closet. It's neat little detail, so it's pretty cool. I'm pretty pumped about it.
Yeah, that's crazy. It sounds good. I can't wait to see it myself. I need to get up on my Halloween game and roll back and watch them all again and watch the ones I haven't seen yet. And you mentioned the new mask in the new movie. Wasn't the original movie, wasn't that mask inspired by Captain Kirk from Star Trek? I thought I read that somewhere once.
Yeah, it's actually a Shatner mask that they... They were looking for a mask for the character. They didn't know what to do or how. They were originally like going for like a clown, they thought, and then they found the Shatner mask. And then what they did is they took it. It was a Star Trek mask, you know, and they took it and then they just like painted it white and like distressed it and cut the eye holes out bigger and, you know, all that stuff. And so then they turned it into what it was, which was kind of cool. And they've never really been able to replicate that again. That mask was so scary. Like, it's just so emotionless, you know, and then you got this crazy guy behind it who's out there just, like, rampaging. It was definitely, I'm really excited for it. I think it's going to be a great movie. Like, Rob Zombie's movies were horseshit, though. They were just absolutely terrible. for whatever reason. Like,
so I think that's because Rob Zombie is a crazy ass idiot, but that's aside from the point.
I like his music, but he's a maniac. He's a vegan. But did you see his, so you never saw those ones, right?
No, I did not see the Rob Zombie version.
He had a lot of interesting ideas, I thought, but just executed them absolutely awful. So, like, he went back and did, like, a reboot of the franchise from the beginning, told the origin story. And so as part of that, he had, little Michael, like, kills his sister or whatever, but he actually wears the Halloween mask. But the funny thing is the mask is, like, adult size. So you got this kid, like, wearing this adult-sized mask, and he just looks ridiculous. And then he goes and just, like, takes out his sister, like, no problem.
Yeah.
And, like, he just... And then he grows in to be, like, a 7-foot-tall giant. And, like, the guy who played Michael in that movie was huge. And he's just, like, this unstoppable force, which is... I mean, I can kind of understand taking it that direction if you want Michael to be, like, invincible, you know?
Right.
And then it just, I don't know, it gets really weird. And Sherry Moon Zombie is, like, literally the worst actress of all time. And she's got a pretty prominent role. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a lot of the dialogue was pretty rough. So.
Huh. I may still check it out to give it the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, I think he needs to stick to his music.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, big time. Yeah, he's a... His music's definitely way better than his filmmaking. Although House of 1,000 Corpses and Devil's Rejects are pretty good.
Right.
I like those.
Yeah, I did like those.
But they're perfect for him. They're like these crazy psycho hillbilly movies, and like it just fits like his whole thing.
Yeah, psycho hillbilly movies. I wonder if he's ever going to do a remake of Deliverance. That sounds like something to be right up his alley.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know. I'm out on the Rob Zombie movies, I think. I don't think I'll watch another one. They haven't been very good since those first, really the first one, and then the second one was good enough, and then they've just gotten progressively worse.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he'll still make plenty of money touring with his band and that side of things, so I don't feel too bad for him if his movie career fails.
Yeah, I know. I just... Yeah. No. Did you see the playoffs last night? Did you watch the Cavs game?
Oh, I didn't actually turn it on until the second half, and I probably should not have turned it on at all. I came in the second half, and they had a 17-point lead. And then second half, they just basically went to sleep. I think they only, had 33 points in the entire second half.
Oh, dude, they played like shit. So... LeBron's going to get bounced in the first round, and then he's going to leave Cleveland again.
Yeah. Do you think any of that's premeditated?
No, because he'll go out and throw down like 40 points. So
yeah.
I think he's trying. He doesn't look like he's not trying. It's just the rest of the team can't hit a shot. So unfortunately for us, he'll probably not be here next year.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin Love was the unfortunate whipping boy on all the highlights last night. Like, hey, Kevin Love came out. He had a 16-point first half, but hey, look, now he only made two shots the entire second half. What's going on with Kevin Love? So
well, one of them was he drilled a three-pointer down at the end, like clutch three that brought us within one, but then we didn't quite make it there.
Yeah. It'll go down to the final game, and then I think they're going to get knocked out. There's not enough drive there, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean... It's pretty tough, and I don't know if, like, Indiana just matches up weird against us or if we're just that bad. I'm not that great of a basketball expert to know, but it was just a little frustrating to watch.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating for me. I mean, they're so hot one time and cold the next. I just – and altogether, like you said, I'm the same way. I'm kind of a fair-weather basketball fan, and – I enjoy watching the Indians and stuff, but I'm just kind of in a holding pattern until football season starts up again. And even that, the NFL is, I've been losing interest.
Yeah. I said that last week. I'm same way. Like NFL hasn't been doing it for me, but it might just be that the Browns have been so bad for so long. I don't have anyone to root for, so I just don't care. So, But exactly. I love baseball, though. So, like, I actually had the Tribe game on. Fox Sports has a really sweet app, and I don't have like traditional cable, so I was using the Fox Sports Go app, and I could actually split screen the Cavs and Indians in the app, which was pretty cool. Nice. So I would minimize the Cavs game to a really tiny box in the corner because they're playing like shit in the second half. so anyway, so I was watching the Tribe get decimated by the Orioles last night while I was watching the Cavs get decimated by the Pacers. So it was like double your fun.
Right. Yeah, it's early in baseball season. I'm not too worried about the Tribe. They'll be fine down the stretch.
Well. Yeah, they've been playing pretty well overall. I'm pretty happy with them. For how early it is. I mean, typically, like, seasons past, they'd come out the gate and, like, lose, like, 10 in a row and then try and dig out of that hole all season long. But with Tito, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. And I think with baseball, the season is so long and they come off of training camp, they're still knocking rust off for the first several weeks. Not to mention where we're at, Northeast Ohio, it's still fucking snowing in April, so it's kind of hard to get a decent baseball
game. That's the funny
thing
to watch. If you watch them like play when they come home and it's like still like 30 or 40 degrees outside and how terrible everyone plays, and then all of a sudden you'll watch them go, like they played a special series in Puerto Rico, and all of a sudden they can hit the ball. It's like, it's so funny to watch because they start in Arizona and they do their spring training there and it's nice and warm, and then they come home and play in cold ass
in the cold weather. Right. Yeah. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, when you're playing in the cold ass weather, your nuts are in the back of your throat. You really don't need a cup. You know, it's kind of uncomfortable out there.
Oh, I know, man. I know.
I can't imagine. I've worked outside before, and when it's freezing ass weather, and you just get to the point where it doesn't even feel like you can move.
No, not at all.
But yeah, they'll be fine. Summer's right around the corner. Hopefully we see no more snow. And
yeah, hopefully. I mean, it's supposed to be decent this weekend finally, so I'm going to get out there and do some yard work this afternoon and hopefully get all nice and cleaned up. And I got so many weeds at my house that I have to get rid of. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, it's about to start for me as well. After this whole party fiasco this weekend, I'm going to be thick in the middle of spring cleanup next week.
Oh yeah, man, I'm on it right now because last year we moved into a new house and we got like a pretty good size yard and flower beds, and we didn't like touch the flower beds last year like hardly at all. So the weeds just like overgrew everything, and you know we won't put chemicals down in the yard.
Right.
So it's not like I'm going to go out there and spray Roundup. So I'll be out there hand weeding. So got a shit ton of weeds and a lot of grass to mow.
Good times.
Yes, sir.
On my side, I live in a neighborhood where there's no other kids. We're the youngest family in the neighborhood and everybody else is retired. So
same here.
We have guys on my street that, even though it's still snowing, have already mowed their yard three times this year.
Yes.
So.
Yes. 100%. I had a guy outside last night fucking mowing his yard at 7:30 at night while I'm trying to put my son to sleep, and he's out there with the weed whacker.
I guess that's something we got to look forward to here when we get to retirement, just mowing the grass. And well, I don't, because I'm going to buy a townhouse and somebody's going to do my fucking yard when I'm that old.
I know. I thought about it, man. Like, I just pick up another job and pay someone else to do this shit. It fucking sucks.
Exactly. Worst job ever.
Trials and tribulations of lawn care.
Yeah.
I signed up for it, I suppose. Really, though, mine's not, it shouldn't be too terrible, but I just let it go so bad last year because we were too busy, like, doing all the shit inside the house when we moved in that we didn't get a whole lot going on outside. And like I said, my son was a little bit more difficult last year until we figured out his food shit. So now he's a little bit more reasonable. So it's a lot better for me to get out there. Like, I always felt guilty, you know, it's like you work 40, 50 hours a week at your job, and then you know, make dinner and shit, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, hey, honey, I'm going to go outside for like 2 hours and ignore you guys and have fun with that kid still. She's like ready to pull her hair out. Yeah.
The only thing I'm really not looking forward to is after all the snow melts and the grass is starting to grow is going out there and finding all that dog shit from the winter and cleaning it up.
The fossilized shit in your yard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, I've got this spot, like, I got this a sunroom and we let the dog out through, and he goes down and there's like this little brick pad and then the yard, and all around the brick pad, it's the grass is just like dead. And that's from just him just pissing in one spot repetitively for an entire winter. And then the grass all around it is like 6 inches high. And then there's like a section right outside of that that's just like normal. So like he's like fertilized this one section with his dog shit and then pissed away this other section inside. And so it's like this weird like multifaceted artwork he's put on the yard from a winter's worth of work.
Marking his territory.
Yeah. So I don't know. I have to go out there and shovel some shit and then mow my grass too.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well,
all right. Yeah. The sun is coming up. I see it peeking through the window. That means it's about time for us to wrap up and get back to normal everyday life, I guess.
That's right.
I need to step up my sound game. I'll have some more stuff next time around.
Oh yeah, man, I just touched the cusp of this. So we'll get it good. But well, that's a wrap for today's show. So if you enjoyed it, go ahead and hit us up on iTunes. Look for us Podwhackers and subscribe and check us out on Spotify as well. And if you want, you can hit us up on social media @Podwhackers on Twitter. Other than that, today's a wrap. Thanks, guys.